بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, one of the realities of life is that reality does not depend on belief for its existence. If something is real, it is real. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. Belief matters only because if it is real, and if you don't believe it is real, then you will not prepare for it. Then you will get it in the neck and you won't know why. But if it is real and you believe it is real, then you will prepare for it and that's good for you. The Akhirah is real. Whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, it is real. Yesterday, one of our musallis for Jummah, Javed Tumbi Sahab, he passed away. Cardiac arrest. He used to pray Jummah here in our masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus bi khayri hisab, inshallah. I am mentioning this because this is a reality for us, for every single one of us. Whether we die at 9 or 90, one day we die. Whether we believe this or not, it will happen. The question is, what happens thereafter? And the question also is, what is the result of this belief also in this world? Rasulullah said in one hadith, a time will come upon you, he is speaking to the Sahaba. So when he is saying you, it doesn't mean them, it means the Muslim Ummah at large. So he said to them, a time will come upon you when others will call each other to eat from you, to take from you, to tear you apart. Like people call each other to eat from one dish. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, is it because we will be few in number? Is it because we will be so few in number? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, your numbers will be very large. You will not be few in number, you will be very large. But you will be like the foam on a flash flood. Go on YouTube and look for flash floods. Lots of videos. And you will see as the water comes, floating on top will be a lot of debris. Foam and bits and pieces of twigs and leaves and so on and so forth. So Rasulullah said, you will be like the foam on a flash flood. You will have no weight. You will have no substance. Like the foam, it looks big, but there is nothing in it. It's only air. So they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the reason for this? Why would that happen? He said, because of wahan. They said, what is wahan? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. We were just talking about Parakrama Palace. Parakrama Palace was built by Nawab Bikhar al-Umra Bahadur, who was the Prime Minister of Hyderabad. There were two titles that were never given to anyone other than royals in the Hyderabad hierarchy. One was Umrah, one was Jah. And these two titles were given only to royalty. Bikhar al-Umra was Umrah. Now, he built Parakrama Palace. And after he built Parakrama Palace, he invited his brother-in-law to come and visit. Who was his brother-in-law? The Nizam. me Mahbub Ali Khan, the Sikh Nizam. So he came and visited, and he liked the palace very much. So Mukhtar Umra presented it to him. And the Nizam insisted on paying for it. So he paid for it. He said, I am paying for the furniture. Because if you are presenting something and you say I am paying for it, it is bad manners. You accept a gift. So he accepted the gift and he said, I am paying for the furniture, and he paid for the palace more than what the palace was worth. Then Bukhari Mullah built another 6 palaces. One of which is Paiga Palace, in which the US consulate is. And there are 6 palaces around that. There's that whole complex. That complex extends from the bank of Hussain Sagar all the way to the old Hyderabad airport, including public school. Right? Who was overall in charge of that? Zakhar Lumra's wife. Who was she? The sister of the Nizam. So when Mir Usman Ali Khan became the king, when he became Nizam, and when he wanted to build the Hyderabad public school, where both of us studied, he requested the wife of Bihar Lumra, who was his puppy. She was his aunt, to give some land. So she gave 100 acres of land on which HPS was built. Part of that palace complex also was Vilayat Mandir, which was the house of the next Prime Minister, who was the son of Bihar Lumra, now Walid Al Bahadur. And Begumpet railway station was built for the convenience of Wali Udala on his land in front of Vilayat Mandir. So if he goes somewhere, he comes back, gets off the train, straight to his house. He doesn't have to come from Nagpur. Right? And today we have 1,000 square foot flat and we think we have property. Now, my point is, I am telling you all this story, not for the Hyderabad history. I am telling you, Hyderabad history is very interesting. I have studied it, so sometime we will talk about it. But the point is, I am saying all this because today, where are these people? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, we ask Allah to give them Jannah. But I am just saying that who does that land belong to? Who is sitting on that land? Who is doing tasarruf on this land? And even the history of these people, it's only idiots like me who study it, so we know. Because even others today, they have no clue about this history. And once this generation goes, nobody will even know the names. So the point is, Hubbud Dunya wa Karahiyatul Maut applies to you and me, whether we have one postage stamp worth of property, or we have no property, or we have property if we own the whole earth. That's why I like history, and when I study history, I study history, I study what I like to call comparative history. Because anytime I look at what somebody had, then I compare it with what somebody else has, and then this what somebody had looks like a stable of a horse. Of someone else. Because if you are impressed with Faraknuma Palace, what will you be impressed with? What will you say about the Red Fort? When Shah Jahan went out somewhere and he wanted to go home, what would he tell his driver? Will he say, let us go to the Red Fort? Or will he say, let us go home? What do you think he would have said? I'm just saying, comparative, no? What is Faraknuma Palace compared to the Red Fort? Nothing. Zero. The point is, no matter what we have to leave it behind. And Allah knows the darajat of people. Allah knows the darajat of people. So, I am not sitting here in judgment on anybody. But from whatever little I know, Shah Jahan lived in the Red Fort, he built the Red Fort, lived in the Red Fort, he built the Jama Masjid, he died and he was buried in the Taj Mahal. Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh lived in a, what would you would like to call maybe a, out of politeness, a small house. when they go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you think is the relative position? I'm not even comparing with Genghis Khan and so on and so forth, because these are kuffar, they are not Muslim. I'm saying Muslim king compared to a faqir. Faqir. Fuqara ila Allah. Ya ayyuha an-nasu antumul fuqara ila Allah. Allah said to the whole world, all of you are faqir compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. What is the relative position? This is the whole issue. The whole issue is what will happen to us and what will be our position when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dunya will end. This life will end long before the dunya will end. Venus had a collision with another celestial body 4.5 billion years ago, and Venus is still shaking. This is the kainat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of which I am telling you is not even as big as a grain of sand on the end of your finger, which is called the visible universe. And what is beyond that, only Allah knows. And this is the one before whom we are going to go. And we are worried about this piece here, that piece there. Who is standing where, who is sitting? La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Just look, even our disputes are so, what do you call it? I mean, you know,
irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant, totally disgusting. All our energy is going only in some ridiculous, nonsensical thing, instead of focusing on ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla, and saying, what will be my position when I stand before my Rabb jalla jalla? Because all of this dunya, Allah never gave this whole world to anybody. Nobody. There is no king or queen or whoever owned the whole world. There is no empire, no matter what they called it. The British said the sun never sets on the British Empire. Harun Rashid stood, he looked at the cloud and he said, go and rain wherever you want, that revenue comes to me. These are all arrogance of kings, nothing else. So Allah never gave the whole world to anybody. But even if you got the whole world, you get something which is smaller than and less significant than one grain of sand on a beach compared to what Allah has created. But when we go and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, Rasulullah ﷺ said, the last person to come out of Jahannam, Allah will say to him, go into Jannah. It's a long hadith, I won't narrate the whole thing, very beautiful hadith. But the last piece of it, he said, Allah says, Allah will tell him, go into Jannah. The man will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, everyone has gone, is there a place for me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, what if I gave you something which is 10 times the size of the earth that you came from? The earth, not Valgama Palace. 10 times the size of the earth from where you came. Man will say, 10 times. Allah says, go. 10 times the earth, 10 grains of sand. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perspective, it's 10 grains of sand. But from the perspective of you and me, 10 times the size of this earth. And that is for the last one who comes out of Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from Jahannam altogether, completely, inshallah. And to take us into Jannatul Firdaus Ala behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and give it to us bi ghairi hisab, inshallah, mustan. But I remind myself and you, let us do something for this. Starting with praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Even that we cannot do, and you want to have Jannah. Let Allah give you that and more. I don't care. It's not my Jannah that Allah is going to give you. But I'm saying that if you are not praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid, what is to be said about that? It begins with that. Everything begins with that. The day begins with that. So denying reality will not change reality. So let us open our eyes. Let us accept that standing before Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is real, and let us prepare for it. Forget this dunya, forget whatever is happening in this world. If it is in your control, change it. If it is not in your control, shut up and forget about it. What is in your control is how you and I are going to die. What is in our control is whether we get Jannah or not. Allah gave that to you. Allah did not give you a piece of garbage in this dunya. That Allah has written for you. What He has written, you will get. What Allah has not written, you can hang upside down, you will not get it. But Jannah, Allah gave it to you. Allah said, write. You want Jannah, take it. You want Jahannam, take it. How much Jahannam you want, take it. How much Jannah you want, take it. Eh? And Shaitan turns us around and says, no, this dunya, run behind this dunya. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to open our eyes to this. The reality of this life, and the reality of this life is that we have to live it. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ